The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, boy. Yes, it is. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is a Friday. Oh, we made it to Friday. And even better than that, well, this morning at, let's get my level straight here so you can actually hear me, and hopefully I'm not over-modulating today. It's a good day in America. Yes, you know, I'll say it. Joe Biden is going to be the 46th president of the United States of America. Yeah. Now, I know you're going, but wait, they haven't called it yet. Well, they haven't. For some reason, the broadcast networks, the major news organizations, the Associated Press, none of them have yet called the race. However, at 8:50 Eastern this morning, the very same site that I told you about yesterday, and I think the day before as well, where I get my election information from, DecisionDeskHQ.com. I told you, you can pull up any race in the country. It's all right there on your fingertips. You can just click on the state and it'll give you all the stats. They are on top of it. This site rocks. It is election results. And at 8:50 this morning, they called the state of Pennsylvania for Joe Biden, pushing the total number of Electoral College votes for Joe Biden to 273 when all he needed was 270. Yeah, baby. So as to why, you know, the networks haven't called it, I don't know, but I'm not the only one saying call it already. Nate Silver tweeted out at 12:45 this afternoon, I don't know, but it sure seems to me like not calling the race when the outcome is obvious in states like Pennsylvania and Nevada gives the president more time to spout misinformation. Joe Scarborough, who knew, over at MSNBC says, there's no reason why the networks are not calling Pennsylvania for Biden right now. Anyone who knows the state can review the data, follow the trends, and know he will win the Keystone State by tens of thousands of votes. Call it. Keep going. I mean, there's other people here. John Ralston, the dean of Nevada politics, says at 1:01 p.m. this afternoon, 4 hours ago, he tweeted, supposed to be going on NBC in a little bit, going to use my best Sam Kinison voice to yell, call it! Just call it! even Steve Schmidt. It's time for the decision desks to call this race. Networks and other news organizations should not be intimidated from declaring reality. Trump team has lost. It's over. The threshold for calling these races has been met and then some. But you got the crybaby up there, Donald Trump, who, believe me, is a baby. Wait.
I'm not a baby.
You are a baby. You're a fucking crybaby.
I'm not a baby.
I love the poorly educated.
Well, of course you do, because that's who voted for you. Seriously. Sorry, not to offend, you know, anyone who doesn't have a college education. Look, it happens, especially now. But, you know, with the cost of college these days and a government who doesn't believe in helping its citizens. I don't know why they haven't called it yet, but we have. So the team here at the Nicole Sandler Show, because we take our cues from DecisionDeskHQ.com, we've called it. And everyone else will be calling it soon, too. But there's other stuff. Let me tell you what's going on. You know, they're still counting in Pennsylvania and Georgia and Arizona and Nevada and Alaska, even though it's quite clear where the race is going. And I guess, you know, Donald Trump just makes everyone a bit, lawsuit shy, perhaps, is the way to, you know, frame it. I don't know. You know, he's going to sue look, Donald Trump is going to sue no matter what happens, just like I told you months and months ago before the Democratic Party, you know, led by Jim Clyburn, deemed Joe Biden the nominee. Obviously not the most democratic way to go about that process. But I told you then, people were so afraid. Well, if Bernie gets the nomination, you know, they're going to call him a socialist and all kinds of things. And I said, mark my words, if Joe Biden's the nominee, they will call him a socialist and all kinds of things, too. Well, hello. That is the reason so many people are saying they didn't vote, like here in South Florida, the Cubanos. And it's not only the Cubans. Miami Herald, storefront page story. Non-Cuban Hispanics helped Donald Trump win Florida. Really? Maybe if we have time later, we'll get into the whole voting against your own best interest nonsense. But I do want to share with you the most updated stats and everything that I have for you. So we know Joe Biden is going to be the 46th president of these United States. We're just waiting for the, you know, slow-moving news organizations to catch up with us, but we're there. It'll happen tonight. Joe Biden, by the way, is speaking tonight on television. He wanted to wait till prime time. He learned a few things, I guess, from Donald Trump. And I don't know exactly what time yet, but, you know, if Joe Biden stays true to form, he won't speak for very long. He'll say, you know, we're doing the right thing. Let's wait for it to be made official, but we're there. Just chill. Stay zen, everybody. Now, regarding the Senate, before the election, there were 53 Senate seats held by Republicans, 47 held by Democrats, and that includes the two independents, Angus King of Maine and our pal Bernie Sanders. Currently, it stands at 48-48. Yeah, not good. The Democrats picked up, well, two seats, but then they lost some, too. They picked up Mark Kelly's seat in Arizona, ousting Martha McSally, which is good. And in Colorado, who did we get? Frankenlooper. Yeah, John Hickenlooper beat Cory Gardner. But the Republicans gained a seat, so they took one of those back. They beat the Tommy Tuberville, a former college Auburn, or college, I don't want to give the wrong team, a college football coach, won. He has no experience in public service or anything. He's a fucking former football coach. And that's who Alabama elected to the U.S. Senate. Ousting Doug Jones, who just won the seat a couple of years ago in a special election after Jeff Sessions was named attorney general. Remember that? Oh, yeah. And still outstanding are the Senate races in Alaska, North Carolina, and Georgia. It is Auburn. Okay, good. So I got that right. Georgia, by the way, the two races in Georgia are both heading to runoffs. So this is very important. We must get behind John Ossoff and Reverend Warnock, because the fate of the Senate rests on them. It is not too late to pull out a tie, 50-50. And if it's 50-50, well, that's okay, because incoming Vice President Kamala Harris, as the vice president, also acts in the role as the president of the Senate. And she comes into play when there's a tie, and she's the tiebreaker. So it is of the utmost importance that John Ossoff and Reverend Raphael Warnock win those two Georgia Senate seats. The runoffs will be in early January. So we should know today that Joe Biden is officially the winner. Call it already. But we won't know the balance of power until after those Georgia runoffs on January 5th. What's his name? Perdue, his lead over John Ossoff, he was above 50%, which would have done away with the need for a runoff. But sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. It would have done away with the need for a runoff, but now he's down under 50%. He's about 49.8. So, yeah, runoff, here we come. Now, somebody tweeted to me and asked me who should we be looking to for to get behind, you know, these two Georgia races. Well, you know, I'd say Stacey Abrams right now, because she is in Georgia. That's her territory. And her Fair Votes organization, I'm trying to find all my notes here, did a great job. I will put all the information on the blog at NicoleSandler.com after the show so you can access it. But we've got a call, and it looks like, I think this is our friend Proudskell from Alabama. Is that you?
Yes. And I'm excited about Warnock because I think he can win.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you a good reason for this. Because down here, down south, people don't usually give a crap about special elections.
Right.
So I think the Reverend Warnock will motivate the black vote. I'm sure of it. And I think he has a decent chance of winning.
Okay, well, I hope so. Now, how are you feeling about, what's the deal with this Tuberville guy? Is there any reason for him to be elected other than the fact he coached Auburn's football team?
No.
That's ridiculous.
The only reason why he's elected is he has an R by his name,
yep,
and he's a warm body, and he's not a rapist or a murderer.
Wow. Wow. That's sad. Well, Proudskell.
Yeah. Anyway, there's more to come with him because there's questions about a charity he sponsored, which had charity golf tournaments. But guess what? Some of the money went to Tuberville.
Oh God. Oh boy. Oh well.
And he has issues with a hedge fund he floated, and possibly he might be charged with securities fraud. That's
right.
Another issue, too.
All right. Well, I hate to say it. We should have learned about this a long time ago. Now it's kind of too late. He's in. He will be in the U.S.
Well,
Senate. Doug Jones is gone.
I know.
All right. Hey, Proudskell, you know what? My phone's ringing off the hook, and I got to make another call. Let me thank you for calling. I don't know why it's ringing when I have other calls up. It's not supposed to do that. Hi, someone from the Long Beach area, it looks like. Who's this?
Yes, this is Steve, and I want you to know you're not going to get away with it. You're trying. It was unmitigated trying to steal the election.
Excuse
me? You've alienated too many damn people.
Really?
You bitch.
This guy called twice, just so you know, to tell me that we're not going to get away with stealing the election because I've alienated too many people, you unmitigated bitch. I think I got that right. Okay, if you say so. Gee, what a shame. All right, I need to call Will Bunch. I'm not sure. I think this is the number that he's at. Will Bunch was going to join us on video, and unfortunately, his computer's acting up. But Will Bunch, of course, is a columnist for the, that's not Drift Glass. I'm such a mess here today. I'm trying to call Will Bunch of the... All right. I guess I need to call the other number. I think I was calling his office. I've got two numbers here for him. See, he was going to join us via the Zoom, but he said his computer is not working right. And so let me see if I can get the other phone number. Okay, where's the other phone number? Let's see. Let's try this one and see if this one works. And in the meantime, I can fix my my phone thing here, I think. You know, best laid plans and all that. I had this problem yesterday, too, didn't I? Come on, Will Bunch. All right. You know what? I'm going to tell him to call us because that'll be easier. because that's not working. All right. It's trying to load. All right. I'm going to tell him, call me. 954-889-6410. And while we're waiting for Will Bunch to call in, I'll tell you a little bit more of what's going on. It looks like the Democrats just picked up a House seat in Georgia. And guess what? It's the only House seat that the Democrats won. Oh, boy. All right. We'll get to that in a moment. I think now we have Will Bunch on the line. Is that you?
Yeah, it's me. How's it going, Nicole?
Good, but oh boy, do we have a lousy phone connection. This is just what today is. It's almost anything that can go wrong is going wrong, except it looks like we have a new president. But your state hasn't called the election yet, or I should say the news organizations won't call it for Pennsylvania yet.
Right. I mean, to me, that seems like that's the big issue now in the late afternoon here is, you know, why aren't they calling it? I mean, basically, what seems to have happened is they seem to have changed the rules about how they call states. You remember election night when, you know, the polls closed in states like Oklahoma and Vermont. Obviously, those states aren't very contested. But, you know, they said, we've seen enough. We can call them like 3 minutes after the polls close.
Right.
Now with Pennsylvania, I mean, they're really waiting until there's absolutely zero probability that Trump could win, you know, and I guess they're hinging it partly on a lot of provisional ballots that are out. I mean, the provisional ballots are a little bit different than the mail-in ballots. They are probably more equally divided between Trump and Biden.
Uh-huh.
But if they're equally divided, he's not going to catch up, you know. I mean, in theory, if a huge, you know, surge of these provisional ballots were somehow for Trump, he could theoretically catch up because the lead is not huge, right? It's only 15,000 votes. I think two things are going on with the networks. I mean, I think the biggest one is they're afraid to some degree of the Trump White House, which I find hard to understand, but they do seem to feel like they're kind of bullied into not wanting to make a call. I mean, and the other thing, frankly, and I hate to say this because this is kind of like one of those cynical things that your basic, you know, talk radio caller or whatever would say, but I mean, their ratings this week have been through the roof, right? I think I read somewhere that Wednesday, the day after the election, was the second most watched day in the history of CNN,
wow,
for example.
Wow.
So again, I hate to sound just so cynical, but economically, there's not a huge incentive for them to call this, right? So they don't have the economic incentive, and you know, they've got this pressure from the White House.
Hey, Will. Yeah. I'm gonna interrupt you here because I see you're on the Zoom call. This audio sucks. Can you try to come in over there and we'll see if it sounds any better?
Well, I'm gonna have to go back into the back.
All right. Don't worry about it. No worries. All right. You know what? Yeah. I'm gonna direct everyone over to the Philadelphia Inquirer. Mm-hmm. They can find your blog at attitude, attitood.com, and they'll still get you there to Will Bunch's column at the Philadelphia Inquirer. You were going out. You were heading downtown earlier today, and then you turned around because there was a bomb scare. Things are going to get crazier before they get better, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it turned out to be nothing, and thank God it was, you know, it was over quickly, and it was just one of those things. It was if I left a half hour sooner, I wouldn't have known about the bomb scare, and if I left a half hour later, it would have been over. But
right.
I left right when it was going on, and my editors, who were getting all kinds of texts, because the bomb scare was right next to the building where the Inquirer newsroom is. Now understand that.
Oh my God.
In the coronavirus era, nobody actually works in newsrooms.
Right.
So there's like five people there, but even so, because there were five people there, there were all these messages about it and stay away from the area. And this isn't exactly the area where the vote counting is taking place, but it's pretty close. It's like a few blocks away.
Gotcha.
So, probably the bomb scare was probably related to the politics. But then one thing that also we do know about is that two men were arrested in Philadelphia last night, who'd driven up from Virginia in a car with an American flag and QAnon stickers.
Oh my.
Loaded to the gill with all kinds of firearms and weapons, and members of some kind of patriot group, quote unquote, down in Virginia, actually affiliated with a state senator, apparently, which is interesting. But and they've been arrested, and it's believed that you know, they were seriously considering causing mayhem at the Vaux County place.
Right.
So, yes, it is crazy. And, you know, this actually gets back to what we were talking about a minute ago about whether the network should call this election or not, because I think the real tragedy of them not calling it yet, even though we know that Biden has won, you know, is definitely has enough votes to win, is that the more uncertainty and the longer this drags on.
Yeah, the longer, more Trump has to spew his lies and misinformation. Will, I'm going to let you go because our phone connection is just so bad. It's really hard to understand you. Thank you, though, for checking in and keeping us apprised of what's happening in Philadelphia. Your mayor, I'm going to let you go, Will. Thanks for calling. Your mayor, though, Jim Kenney, had a great statement. This is what he said.
You know, I think what the president needs to do is, frankly, put his big boy pants on. He needs to acknowledge the fact that he lost, and he needs to congratulate the winner,
yeah,
just as Jimmy Carter did, just as George H.W. Bush did,
yeah,
and, frankly, just as Al Gore did.
Yeah.
And stop this and let us move forward as a country.
Yeah, but
and that's my feeling. I doubt he'll listen to me, but that's it.
No, he won't, because, you know, Donald Trump is a baby.
I'm not a baby.
He's a baby. Anyway, all right, so that's that. Let me tell you about what else is happening, because in just a little while, we are going to hear from Ion Sancho. Now, that's not a name that you probably know, but Ion Sancho was the supervisor of elections in Leon County, Florida, for 28 years. Leon County is not where I am. I'm in Broward County. Leon County is Tallahassee. That's northern Florida. That's the seat of the Florida government. Not a whole lot of progressives up there. And frankly, I don't know what Ion Sancho's ideology is, because he was a great supervisor of elections and his ideology did not come into play. But he was also tapped to be the technical advisor for Florida's 2000 recount. So I'm really curious to get his thoughts about how this election has gone, is going, what's happening there, find out what, you know, just what's going through his mind when he sees this newly Trump inspired, you know, Brooks Brothers riot for 2020. Obviously, it was all AstroTurf. None of this stuff was I'm reading 20 things at once. Do I have both audio feeds on? I don't think so. Yeah, the audio should be okay now. I backed off the mic. I got all screwed up with whatchamacallit. I hope that's better. Sound level distortion. I hope that's okay. I backed it off. Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm having all kinds of problems here today. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little time out. I'll tell you one thing is that this is going to be the evergreen soundbite because what's his name? Donald Trump, remember, said this throughout the campaign that once November 4th came, we wouldn't be talking about COVID anymore, right?
COVID, COVID, COVID. COVID, by the way, on November 4th, you won't hear about it anymore. So.
Really? So, well, let me tell you about COVID. Coronavirus, the United States reported more than 121,000 new coronavirus cases yesterday, which is an all-time high. The previous all-time high came the day before. Yes, so that's 2 days in a row, over 100,000 new cases diagnosed. It's only getting worse. It is out of control. I'm going to share with you a tweet from a friend of mine. She's actually been on the show before. Let me see if I can't find her message. Her name is Sue, and Sue is a she runs the pharmacy of a very small a hospital in rural Illinois. And she wrote this to me last night. She said, Nicole, I hope you had a good birthday. All things considered, I wanted to wait a day to share this with you so as not to ruin your birthday. She said, we had our first code blue of the second wave this afternoon in the COVID room. Elderly man from the nursing home just released from another hospital after a COVID admission. He couldn't breathe and his heart stopped. We put him on the ventilator and gave him at least a dozen rounds of cardiac meds. 8 staffers in the room, all fully garbed in PPE. 2 of us had donated blood earlier in the day. It was hot and our heads were spinning from volume depletion. We worked on him for 35 minutes and got a slow but irregular heartbeat back. No hospitals would take him as a transfer patient because they didn't have beds available. A doctor talked to the family and they decided on comfort care. We extubated him and shut off the medication drips. He'll be gone before dinner. And 8 more sets of PPE got tossed in the trash. This whole thing sucks. And then she said, I just want someone to make the call so I can breathe again. I'm afraid if, when Trump loses, he's going to be so wrapped up in lawsuits and tantrums that he will pay even less attention to the virus than normal. We have been over 100,000 cases for 2 straight days now, and I'm afraid we are past the point of no return. I don't think we can stop it without extreme measures, and we certainly can't wait until January 20th to start doing them. That is horrendous. And it shouldn't be that way. And I don't think Trump is the answer, whether he pays attention or not. He is certainly a big part of the problem. Yes, he is.
COVID, COVID, COVID. You can't watch anything else.
It's COVID, 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 COVID. On November 4th, you won't hear anything about it because we are rounding that turn. You won't hear.
If you're doomed, Superman, I'm immune. Through the science, just as long as I have a sold-out room. You're a schmuck, you're so vile, like dog shit in a pile. I can't wait till they lock your ass away. You spoiled rotten child.
Oh, told you he was a baby.
COVID, COVID, COVID. That's all I hear. Get over, over, over it. There's nothing to fear. Only 240,000 have died. Don't let that dominate your life. I just need to hear you cheer. Shove it, shove it, shove it, you despicable man. Enough, enough, enough of your snake oil and scams. So many lives you jeopardize. So much hate you've normalized. The country you've demoralized. The facts and figures you despise. You don't even have a freaking.
Ah, that's the end of it. All right. Oops. There you go. COVID, COVID, COVID. Oh, boy. Oh, please. The nightmare is almost over. I think. Anyway.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on the Progressive Voices Network and NicoleSandler.com.
So I'm bitching, right, about the fact that nobody has called the race. Nobody but my decision desk headquarters has called the race when it's apparent that, you know, the writing is on the wall. So imagine my surprise when I heard this clip from Rush Limbaugh today. Now, Rushbo was on the air complaining that that Trump's campaign was all about love, but that Biden's was all about hate because Trump's followers love him. They just love him. And we, the Democrats, only voted for Joe Biden because we hate Donald Trump. But when he was explaining that, this is what he said.
The guy that won did not have any kind of massive pro support. He was just
the guy
the
that
vessel.
Won. Okay.
He was just the recipient of whatever anti-Trump sentiment there was out there. Now, he can tell himself all day long he's been elected president. Because he has.
Because he has. So twice, Rush Limbaugh, see, he started off by saying, here, come on. Oops, I have the wrong thing up. Saying.
The guy that won did not have.
The guy that won, right? And then he said he can say he won all he wants because he has. Then he goes to a commercial break. He comes back from the commercial break and he says this.
So I just got this note. I just got this note from Bret Baier, Fox News, saying that I've conceded the election. He wants to know if that's true. Did you concede the election? You think that Biden's... I didn't say that. I'm dealing in some hypotheticals here, but I've never conceded the election. I've never said that this was over. I've never, in fact, just finished saying that Trump's got legal options open to him. And I was going to get into those here in just a second.
Yeah, he was going to get into those here in just a second. Sure he was. He fully said Biden won. These are the people who tell you.
What you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
It is opposite world, and that's where they live. And that's why Donald Trump got on the television last night and started saying, yes, they stole the election from me. They're trying to steal the election from me. If you count the legal votes... I won. No, that's all
bullshit.
Every word of it is
bullshit.
And the reaction from some of the broadcasters afterwards was pretty classic. And in fact, Anderson Cooper, I think, wins the prize.
That is the president of the United States. That is the most powerful person in the world. And we see him like an obese turtle on his back, flailing in the hot sun, realizing his time is over. But he just hasn't accepted it, and he wants to take everybody down with him, including this country.
Yeah. I can't get that image out of my mind. Actually, here's the full statement.
Well, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this from a president of the United States. And I think, as Jake said, it's sad, and it is truly pathetic. And, of course, it is dangerous, and, of course, it will go to courts. But you'll notice the president did not have any evidence presented at all. Nothing. No real actual evidence of any kind of fraud. He talked about people putting up papers in windows. He talked about things that he'd seen on the internet. That is the president of the United States.
There
that is the
go.
Most powerful person in the world. And we see him like an obese turtle on his back, flailing in the hot sun, realizing his time is over.
An obese turtle.
But he just hasn't accepted it, and he wants to take everybody down with him, including this country.
An obese turtle in the hot sun. I'll never get that vision out of my mind. So that happened. By the way, here's what Jake Tapper said before he turned it over to Anderson Cooper.
What a sad night for the United States of America to hear their president say that, to falsely accuse people of trying to steal the election, to try to attack democracy that way with this feast of falsehoods, lie after lie after lie about the election being stolen. No evidence for what he's saying, just smears about the integrity of vote counting in state after state. When he wins a state, it's legitimate. When he loses, it's because the vote is being stolen from him. It's not true. It's ugly. It's frankly pathetic.
Yeah.
The president, for example, he assailed vote by mail. Why?
All right. So that was Jake Tapper. Just so you know, on every channel, every network. Well, I don't know about Fox because my TV doesn't physically go there. But every other channel, they were all perplexed. In fact, they all cut away from him. Whoops. They all cut away from him except for CNN and Fox. Go figure. All right. I'm excited now to bring in our guest today. Ion Sancho is, you may not know his name, but you certainly know of him because Ion Sancho was for 28 years the supervisor of elections in Leon County, Florida. Now, I'm down in Broward County. Leon County is way up north, and normally I've never been to Tallahassee, but Ion Sancho was the expert, was the person I knew I could always call on to find out what's going on when we were worried about our counting our votes and what's happening. And he was the technical advisor on the Florida 2000 recount. He's featured in movies, Hacking the Vote, and a number of others that have been produced over the last 20 years or so. Ion Sancho, thank you so much for joining us today. You there?
My pleasure, Nicole.
There you are.
How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I'm doing a lot better now than I was a couple of days ago, frankly. Even though most of the news organizations have not yet called the race, a few have. I understand now Vox did, and DecisionDeskHQ.com, which is where I get all my data from, they called it. But none of the Associated Press, none of the major news organizations are calling the race yet. Do you think it's time to call it?
Well, I like to watch the state's processes play out. You correctly identified that I was the technical advisor to the 2000 recount. And what that taught me was that the intervention in the process is disastrous to our political system. And I'd like the states be allowed to follow their laws, process the ballots in their timely fashion, and understand that elections are not something that you can turn on and off with a light switch, the way many Republicans are assuming that, well, it's past November 3rd and the election should be over. It doesn't work like that. It has never worked like that. And Florida and Ohio were examples of how the process should work, except that we front-loaded our procedures because we learned. And you want to open up and canvass all of these vote-by-mail ballots ahead of time. And so, for example, in Florida, we were given 26 days to process the 5 million vote-by-mail ballots that we received. Literally, almost a month versus to what these Rust Belt states are. Or, for example, Pennsylvania was not even allowed to open the ballots until 8 p.m. on election day. Come on. They needed to have their legislatures, which are controlled by Republicans, and they did this on purpose to throw, to cast doubt on the vote-by-mail ballots. But all three Republican legislatures were asked by their election officials. They were asked by their election officials for additional time. And in all three cases, the Republican legislatures completely disregarded the requests by the election experts in their jurisdiction. They tried to foment this into an event that the president could use, because that was his plan, to try to essentially does when always failed with faced with failure. He denies, blames others, and then sues.
Right.
Trump is a one-note pony, to use a term from The Apprentice, and that's what he has always done, and that's what he's doing right now.
And he telegraphed this to us. He told us this is what he was going to do for months leading up to November 3rd. Sorry. He said mail-in voting is open for fraud. It don't do it. Those are not going to count. It's fraudulent. It's fixed. It's the vote in person. And then go figure when all the voting is done. He says all the mail-in stuff is fraudulent. Do not count them. Stop counting the votes now. Well, people already voted. As somebody, Ion, who is steeped in election law, knows how this works, did it just kill you hearing him spout this stuff that made no sense whatsoever? The president of the United States shooting off his mouth, misleading the American public about the sanctity of their votes?
Well, he has a group of people who believes anything that he says, and he knows that, and he uses that. And quite frankly, he is a disservice and a disgrace to a Democratic Republic, in my opinion, because quite frankly, if elections are, you know, he did the same thing in 2016, Nicole. Do you remember?
Yeah.
He said the elections are rigged.
Wait.
And he refused in 2016 to say that he would accept the totals. And then he surprised himself and won.
Right.
This, again, he's a one-note pony. He didn't need to use it in 2016. He's using the same tactics now in 2020.
Right.
And
he's easy to figure out.
It's a disgrace.
It is. No, he's easy to figure out if people would pay attention. Like, here's a clip. This, you're not going to know if it was from yesterday or from 4 years ago.
I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
if I win. That was from 4 years ago. But he hasn't changed his tune. Nothing about him has changed, except maybe he's gone a little bit more off the deep end. And so now these lawsuits he's filed. He's filed one in Wisconsin. He wants a recount. In Michigan, he's filing stuff everywhere in every state that's still counting. But from what I read, they're all like nuisance cases. Nobody's taking them seriously because there's no there. He's saying he's going to go to the Supreme Court and have them put him in office. Is that a possibility?
I really doubt it, because he can't produce evidence. And while social media and Fox doesn't require evidence, courtrooms generally do. And that's why he's gone nowhere in these myriad of court cases that he's filed. What he's just doing is throwing stuff up against the wall in hopes that some of it sticks somewhere.
Absolutely. So now in 2000, I'm not sure when you were brought into the process. I wasn't here at the time. I was actually living in California, but my family was still here. I grew up down here. And, you know, we all voted. When they were counting and recounting the votes in Miami, all of a sudden what happened was a group of people in their khakis and collared shirts came out to where they were counting the ballots. It became known as the Brooks Brothers Riot. It was all, you know, planned. It was Roger Stone takes credit for it. We don't know for sure if it was really his dirty work or if he was just claiming credit for someone else's, but that's the kind of nefarious thought behind it. Well, just the other night, not only in Detroit, they did the same thing. A bunch of people descended on the counting room, demanded to be let in. When you saw that, did you have flashbacks or anything?
Immediately, I thought of the Brooks Brothers riot, because my office was intimately involved with the residue. That was the legal recount that Miami-Dade was conducting on the 8th floor governmental center. And Joe Geller, who was the chairman, who was on the canvassing board, had walked out to try to get a sample ballot, and he was assaulted. He feared for his life, and he went back into the canvassing room and was shaken. And it was not long after that the entire canvassing board decided to stop the recount. But what happened to their ballots was they and Palm Beach's uncounted ballots, because they ran out of time, were driven to my elections office in Leon County, where they were stored in a special room that was built adjacent to my conference room and guarded by FDLE agents with M16 rifles.
Oh, my.
I had an employee who suffered a breakdown over the whole thing. It was a mob of people outside of our office. The tension was terrible, which is why my heartfelt admission is, let the states count the ballots. Let them do it in their normal operating procedures. These individuals who are in the counting room, hearing these individuals chanting outside the building, they fear for their lives.
I bet.
They're fearing for their lives. They don't want people to know where they live, because they're afraid their families might be endangered. That's the kind of environment they're being subjected to today.
Well, I saw today the guy who's giving all the information in Georgia about the votes. I don't know what his title is, but he's dealing with all the vote counting in Georgia. And he said that his whole family is now under protective surveillance because they've gotten threats. This is insane. That violent aspect of it didn't exist back in 2000, or did it? But I mean, I know you were scared by all the people in the Brooks Brothers riot, but you weren't getting death threats, or were you?
Well, I do know that, for example, because it happened to me, they basically had generated these what I would call pseudo mobs. They were people that were trucked in on buses, and they would mob you.
Wow.
And they would start chanting. And quite frankly, the only thing that protected me from them was the fact that there was about 10 feet of press surrounding me, and they were between me and the mob who was chanting. But I'll tell you, as soon as they got word that the Supreme Court had issued their decision stopping the recount, it was like someone switched a switch off. All of a sudden, they became passive. I could hear him say, okay, let's load up back in the bus, guys. I mean, it was a disaster because, quite frankly, in 2000, the media was played. They were played like a yo-yo. And my biggest frustration in 2000 was I didn't hear any commentators saying, what is Florida law and how should it be implemented? They didn't care about the Florida law. And we were trying to follow the law. And when, for example, Florida's law in Chapter 102 required that you had to select with specificity a few precincts and then test only those precincts to determine whether there were any wrong numbers. And if there were, then you could count the entire county. Mm-hmm. And if there were in the county, then you could do the entire state. So the Democratic Party selected Volusia, I believe, Palm Beach, and Miami-Dade. And they walked into a landslide of propaganda. They were accused, simply by following the law, that they were cherry-picking. They weren't really interested in counting all the votes. They were just picking Democratic jurisdictions. Well, yeah, because that's what the law said. If you can't find errors in your jurisdictions, then we're not going to do a recount. So by following the law, they essentially walked into a massive propaganda battle that they lost. And the news media just reported everything they said as if that were the truth. Here's a situation where following the law led to the demise of the Florida election.
Now, how much did Jeb Bush have to do with it being with the whole sequence of events of him, you know, getting the race called for his little brother? Or big brother, whichever it is.
Well, he was instrumental in getting talented people to step in. Mm. That was his role. Because what he did was he brought in Max Stepanovich from Tampa. And basically, Max Stepanovich was the campaign manager for a former Republican governor, Martinez, who came from Tampa.
Sure, right.
And he brought in Max Stepanovich and essentially elbowed Catherine Harris aside. She was only a factor minimally.
Really?
Essentially, okay. Max Stepanovich took over the Secretary of State's role. Yes. Huh. Yes. And it is, in fact, something that he'll admit and something today that he is ashamed of. Wow. Max Stepanovich came out and became one of the Lincoln Brigade and supported Biden for governor.
Wow. Interesting. I wonder what happened to Catherine. No, actually, I don't wonder what happened to Catherine Harris. I don't even want to know. When you heard that three members of the Supreme Court now, including the newest confirmed Associate Justice, Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, and John Roberts, all three were lawyers who helped, you know, decide that make the 2000 election go to George W. Bush, help the counts being stopped. Boy, it's a good thing it's Friday. I haven't slept much this week. Does that give you pause? I mean, because it worried me. Three of them are now sitting on the Supreme Court.
Yes, because it really calls into question the fact what we have done with the Republicans, particularly President Trump, is essentially put in hard-line political ideologues who are now justices. And justice is supposed to be blind. These are people who are not blind to their party ideology. And it's a shame that we don't have individuals who look at the law for what the law is, as opposed to what's the political impact going to be? Because that's who we have now.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ion Sancho, let me ask you a couple of questions about Florida, because I'm confused about our voting. After the debacle of 2000, when Palm Beach County had those butterfly ballots with the hanging chads and all that nonsense, we went to the electronic touchscreen voting machines, which there was no way to verify. There was no verifiable paper trail. Well, we finally got rid of those, and now we have the optical scan machines. That does leave a paper trail. You're marking a paper ballot. It gets fed through the machine. But I remember when they first put those machines into effect, you know, I was a member of the media. I went down and got a demonstration and I fed my ballot through and it went through and it says, thank you, your vote's been counted. But it didn't tell me how my vote was counted, even though, even if it had said, okay, you voted for Joe Biden and Ted Deutsch, I still don't know for sure that that's how the votes were registered. There was some talk all in the last decade about, you know, hacking. You were featured in the wonderful documentary Hacking Democracy that shows how easy it was to hack into the Florida voting machines and change votes. So, and then I learned that there was not even a mechanism for a hand recount in Florida, should one be necessary. Do you know where we are now and if things are any better?
They'll be better in the future, but you've stated exactly the critical flaw in the Florida system, which is there is not a comparison with the votes on those paper ballots with the electronic totals that are printed out by the machine.
Wow.
The only reason that paper ballots are the gold standard is that you can use them to do an audit. So we have the paper ballot, but no audit. And what we call an audit in this state is so ludicrous as to be more, it is more than worthless because it costs money to have to do it. But secondly, our certification occurs, our audit occurs after certification, after. So even if the audit confirms that the machines make an error, if it's a machine error, it cannot be corrected. What kind of an audit is that? What kind of an audit is that? That's all I can ask.
Right. So I guess we need to wait till if we ever get another Democratic governor here in Florida, where, by the way, we have a whole lot more registered Democrats than we do Republicans, yet we always seem to wind up with Republicans running the state and the legislature. We're going to have to wait until and if that ever happens again to fix this problem.
Not really, because in this past spring, Leon County and a number of election officials who are using auditing equipment demanded and got successfully passed a bill that would require, that would allow, for example, counties that have auditing equipment to use that equipment. For example, Leon County pioneered the use of a technology which essentially is dual scanning. Every ballot that is read through a voting machine tabulator is read through a high-speed scanner using separate software. And in fact, that is essentially you scan all your ballots through two systems, essentially. You can actually, with the audit system, examine every vote cast by the voting machines. It creates a digital library of every vote cast in every ballot and depicts it visually. And any citizen could buy, for example, a CD of this audit and do their own audit of any race at all in the luxury of their own home for the cost of whatever the cost is of two CDs, which in Leon County is $6.
Okay.
So you could, again, auditing technology exists, and Florida will begin using it because the law goes into effect January 1st of 2021. They didn't put it into effect for this election. They passed it, but made it only applicable to all other elections after 2020.
Oh, my God. What figures? But that's just in Leon County, or is it throughout the state?
Well, at least I think a dozen of these jurisdictions have purchased this. Broward County, which is a huge jurisdiction.
That's where
you're familiar with Broward.
Yes.
It has this technology. So its ballots now can be audited at a 100% level.
Okay.
And Tampa, Hillsborough, they bought it.
Great.
Tallahassee, they bought it. And again, many of the urban jurisdictions, because quite frankly, you're running as election officials, you're on the ballot. And if you can tell the voters, you don't have to trust me, we can prove your totals are correct, that's an advantage to an elected official who's running for the position of election official.
Yeah. And in fact, we just elected a new supervisor of elections. We had we did not have the best management, so to speak, here in Broward County for a long time for a myriad of reasons. So now I don't know how this new person's going to be, but it can't be any worse than what we've had for the last decade or so. So do you feel good about how the Florida vote went this year, or do you not know because we can't audit the votes?
Well, again, I can't audit the votes. No one can actually know for sure that the numbers that are recorded are in fact accurate. That's the flaw in the Florida voting system. And even if we went into a recount environment, all we're doing is rescanning the same paper ballots on the same software.
Right.
So if the software has been manipulated, you're going to get the same wrong answer. That is not a recount to me. A recount truly is adding up each individual vote as the voter intended to achieve a result. This that Florida does, it's a rescan. It's not a recount.
Exactly.
So I can't give any kind of verification to 20 or 2018 for that matter.
Now, you retired 4 years ago after 28 years as supervisor of elections for Leon County. Do you have any official role anymore, or are you a civilian like the rest of us, but a more knowledgeable civilian than most of us?
Well, I'm a civilian. I don't take contracts for hire. I don't believe that it's ethical for me as an election official to work, for example, for the voting machine companies, which is a revolving door that's very common in this industry.
I'll bet.
Kathy Rogers, for example, who was the Republican Secretary of State in Georgia, is now the vice president of the ES&S company, So this kind of revolving door is just, to me, it's unethical. And so I'm a citizen. I observe elections. I went to Georgia and watched when they introduced their new voting systems there. I communicate with civic organizations and news organizations. And I am on the board of directors for the Electronic Verification Network, which is a group of election officials and technologists and computer experts who are concerned over the insecurities that lie within the American system today. And we're working to improve that through primarily making sure that our elections are audited. And I will tell you, no American should ever accept the results of an election unless it has been robustly audited. We're much too arrogant in terms of our belief that technology will solve everything. Technology also allows the greatest number of financial crimes ever in the history of humanity. So we don't hear about the bank's losses because they're covered by insurance. Mm-hmm. There is no sure insurance to cover a stolen vote on a voting machine.
Not at all. Ion Sancho, I hope everybody listens to you. I hope we have a mechanism put into place in the near future where, you know, recounts or audits are routine, because all these counts that are going on around the country, it seemed like on the surface everything went smoothly this time, but we don't really know. And that's the problem, especially when you're not. And now we have paper ballots. I mean, that was the one silver lining, I think, of the whole COVID thing is we got those paper ballots we wanted. Now we just need them hand counted or hand verified moving forward. What's your prescription for making elections secure and stable in the country in a minute?
In a minute?
Yeah.
Audit every ballot. Ballots should be voted in the handwriting of the elector where possible. Mm-hmm. And where not, technology allows them to use a ballot marking device to make their mark. And that can be audited. But we should not trust elections. To steal a phrase from Ronald Reagan, trust but verify. But verify.
I got it.
We must verify.
Gotcha. Ion Sancho is on Twitter. You can follow him at IonSancho1. Sir, thank you so much for joining us today. I've been enamored of your work for years. You were kind enough to join me on the air on Air America back in the day a number of times and throughout the years. And I'm so glad you're there keeping him honest. Ion Sancho, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicole.
You take care. Bye-bye. And with that, we're at the end of another week. Such as it is. Hopefully tonight we'll have a call. Call! Make the call! And we'll be back Monday. I'll be painting in my spare time. Oh, my goodness. All right. At least we're getting rid of the orange menace. So we got that going for us. And next week, we're going to talk about winning Georgia. Georgia! Go Ossoff! Go Reverend Warnock! Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you Monday. We dumped Trump. Yeah!